We all know what it's like to be on the road, right? To drive, living up here in the UP, for me, it's northern Michigan. As I've told you, we lived in St. Ignace for 7 years. So when I drive over the bridge, that's nothing new. Still makes me nervous. I have a fear of heights. I don't want to drive on the grading. I do not want to be on the grading. Oh, well. But we know what it's like to spend time behind the wheel. And what probably most people do, and I'm like you, I can spend 2 or 3 hours a day driving as a chaplain for hospice, visiting people in their homes and facilities, is we listen to music, either the radio or our own playlist. A couple weeks ago, I got some old music out, and I put together a playlist of 90s Christian music. Those were the good old days. But sometimes listen to secular music as well. There's a group called Five for Fighting, and they have a song called 100 Years, 100 Years. And it talks about the passing of time, the passing of our lives. And the premise of the song is, you've only got 100 years to live, but we know most of us don't reach that. And as the song plays, it picks different ages and what you might expect. And so if you have 100 years, then 15's a pretty good age. Because you got your whole life before you. You got lots of time. You got time to buy, time to lose, time to choose. And 22 is not so bad either, because you've gone to school or you've learned a trade or a skill, and you're a young adult. You got everything ahead of you. And at 33, it feels like life's coming together. You've probably married, and maybe you have some kids, and you're in your career. Maybe you made a career choice earlier, but you're in a career, and things are moving along. And you get to 45, and you're nearing the halfway mark. Time's slipping away. And at 67, the sun is falling toward the horizon. And we know how fast time goes as we get older. And then you're 99 and you're wondering where it all went, and you wish you were 15 again, even for a moment. And there's a lot of wisdom in that song. But this morning I want to focus on another song, and it might be the oldest song in human history. I'm talking about Psalm 90. Psalm 90 is a psalm of Moses. And the psalms were sung by God's people, but they weren't just musical entertainment, they were also wisdom. And they want us to pause and reflect on what's being said. And so this may be one of the oldest writings in the Bible. And like the song 100 Years, Psalm 99 wants us to pause and reflect on the passing of time and counting the days we have been given. And when we count our days, we realize how few we've been given. And we realize the need to spend them wisely, and we need to live them out for God's purpose. So Psalm 90, I'm going to read it to you now. It's 17 verses. Psalm 90, a prayer of Moses, the man of God. I think we need to back up a little bit. We jumped ahead. That's all. Uh-oh. We might have to skip that today then. Here we go. Psalm 90, verse 1. Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. Before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You turn men back to dust, saying, return to dust, O sons of men. For 1,000 years in your sight are like a day that has just gone by, or like a watch in the night. You sweep men away in the sleep of death. They are like the new grass of the morning, though in the morning it springs up new, by evening it is dry and withered. We are consumed by your anger and terrified by your indignation. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. All our days pass away under your wrath. We finish our years with a moan. The length of our days is 70 years, or 80 if we have the strength. Yet their span is but trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass and we fly away. Who knows the power of your anger? for your wrath is as great as the fear that is due you. Teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Relent, O Lord, how long will it be? Have compassion on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love, that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, for as many troubles, for as many years as we have seen trouble. May your deeds be shown to your servants, your splendor to their children. May the favor of the Lord our God rest upon us. Establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. So our songwriter Moses seems to be perplexed and even troubled by the brevity of life. The way he figures it, we've got about 70 years or maybe 80 if we're lucky. And whatever the number is, they seem to go by quickly. And before we know it, we've come to the end, and we wonder if our lives have counted for something. Has it all been trouble and sorrow? Or will we have something to show for the years that we've spent here in this world? And that's a question we all ask from time to time. Not every day, not all the time, but on certain days when life slows down for a few moments, when the calendar changes from one year to the next, maybe when we're blowing out those birthday candles, and every year there's a few more. For some people, it's a fire hazard. But one of life's fears is living a meaningless life. We come to the end, and what do we have to show for it? Is there any significance? What is a life that counts? And when all is said and done, we want it to count for something, add up to something. And as Christian people, we want our lives to count for God. Now, if that's going to be the case, then we have to manage wisely the time that we've been given. So we're going to be thinking about time. And we're going to realize if we want our life to count, we have to count our days. Let's look at Psalm 90 here and see what that means. We know, it, and it's easy to see, we're told to number our days. And this may be one of the oldest pieces of writing in the Bible. It's given to Moses. It has to do with the passing of time. He could have been a young person looking ahead to the future. He could have been an older person looking back over his years, or maybe he was in the middle somewhere looking backward and looking forward. And whatever the circumstances, he sees two things. First, he sees the eternity of God, the eternality of God. Lord, you have been our dwelling place through all generations. Before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Moses understood the immortality of God, not in a human sense, but something more. Remember, Moses was the one, when the Almighty God appeared to him in the burning bush in Exodus 3, Moses said, well, when I go back, right, when I go back to the people, they'll ask me, what's his name, right? Who's the God that sent you? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. I am who I am. God always was, always is, and always will be. He has no beginning or end. He simply is. He's eternal. To make the point, the songwriter says in verse 4, for 1,000 years in your sight are like a day that has just gone by, or like a watch in the night. This is an attempt with human words to explain that God is not affected by the passing of time. He's never late. He's never in a rush. He's never tired. So in contrast to the eternal nature of God is our frailty, the brevity of human life. You turn men back to dust. He reminds us that the bodies that maybe we work so hard to take care of, we try to be healthy most days. How much money is spent on cosmetics? We want to look good or be beautiful. One day these bodies return to the earth. And they're turned back to dust. We're like grass, he says. We spring up bright and green in the morning, only we wither and die in the heat of the sun. Five for Fighting isn't the first rock band to say these thoughts that we find here in Psalm 90. Some years ago, a group named Kansas sang a song that was pretty grim. I close my eyes only for a moment, and the moment's gone. All we do crumbles to the ground, though we refuse to see. It slips away, and all your money won't another minute buy. Dust in the wind, all we are is dust in the wind. This is what a life without God is like. So how do we resolve this tension between the eternal nature of God and the brevity or frailty of our life? Because we sense that we're made for something more than this. Solomon said it best when he wrote in Ecclesiastes 3 that God has set eternity in our hearts. We know there's something more than this life. There's something beyond us. But what is this meaning? And we want to do something that will last. But time catches up with us, and so what we accomplish in our lives turns to dust, along with the bodies we inhabit. We may spend our lives building a castle, a beautiful castle, but it gets washed away when the tidal wave of time washes over it. We need to make sure our lives count, not only in this life, but beyond. And so the answer, says Moses, is to number our days. We need to count them. We need to value them. And verse 12 is a turning point in the psalm. The song shifts from lament to hope. Teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Number our days, because everybody counts something. We need to number our days because it's wise people who count the things that really matter. We all do that, right? We count things. Things that'll make us happy or significant every Saturday. Well, my paychecks get deposited, direct deposit, but my wife has jobs. I have some other things I do. Every Saturday, I go to the bank and make a deposit. So is it more money in the paycheck, a bigger bank account, retirement savings, a second car, another piece of property that we can build a second home on? How do we measure our happiness or significance? Is it just by numbers? When I was a kid, it was easy. It was baseball cards, right? And if you had an all-star, that was sweet. I don't know what people count today, or young people. Is it video game scores? Is it still the number of A's on your report card? The wins and losses of your team? Some people count the number of friends they have, the number of colleges they get into. Is it getting enough likes on Facebook or this thing called TikTok? If you're in college, I hope you count your grade point average and your credit hours. Psalm 90 warns us, don't go through life counting the wrong things. If we do, then we sin, and we live lives without meaning. We may think we're doing well, but our iniquities and secret sins, as we see in verse 9, only bring God's anger and indignation. Earlier this year, I shared from Numbers 13, when the Israelites came to the promised land, Moses was their leader, and God gave them the opportunity, but they would not go in. They refused, and so they lost their purpose. I imagine that maybe Moses has events like this in mind when he writes of God's anger and affliction in our lives. The wisest man who ever lived, Solomon, he sums up a life without God in the book of Ecclesiastes. He says, meaningless, meaningless, everything is meaningless. What does a man gain from all his labor at which he toils under the sun? Generations come, generations go. I like what some of the older translations say. Vanity, vanity, everything is vanity. Everything we do is in vain. But then he reminds us in chapter 3 again, there is a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven. And then he lists 14 pairs of opposites, which are meant to encompass all of life. And the first one, a time to be born and a time to die. And some of you may remember this as a song sung by the group The Birds, which came out in 1965. If you do, that tells me about your number. Solomon's point is, no matter what we do, no matter how great our accomplishments, it all means nothing if it's done without God. But if we want our life to count for something, we need to number our days. We need to count the days and the hours, value them, make the most of them, measure our life by what we do with them. When we do this, then three things happen when we number our days and count the things that truly matter. First, when we number our days, we realize how few of them we really have. Many people live like they have an unlimited number of time, an unlimited number of days. We expect to live long lives. We figure we have so many days, we can't even count them all. But the songwriter reminds us that we only have 70 or maybe 80. And that sounds like a lot, especially when you're only 15. But if you do the math, if you live to be 80, you will have lived only approximately 30,000 days. I don't know if that sounds like a little or a lot. You know what the average lifespan is now here in America? About 79. But the average is higher for women than for men. So Moses isn't so far off when he wrote this. And when you put it that way, it doesn't seem like a lot. It's 30,000 days. That may seem like a lot to some, but when the old hair starts to change color, and by the way, it used to be blonde, when it starts to change color, it's another story. And when we number our days, we realize how few we really have. Psalm 90, like the other songs we've been talking about this morning, remind us that sooner or later, we're all going to die. And most of the time, it comes sooner than we'd like. We don't like to face that reality, but until we do, we'll never know how to make our lives count. Someone rewrote verse 12. They paraphrased it this way. Teach us to remember that we must die in order that we might know how to live. Do you know who Tim McGraw is? Yeah, he's a country songwriter, pretty popular. He had a hit, Live Like You Were Dying. Like a lot of songs, it tells a story of a man. And I'd written this before I heard the news. It tells the story of a man that learned he was sick and only had a short time to live. And he tells how this knowledge changed him. He did things he had always wanted to do but never had the time before. He went skydiving. He went mountain climbing. He loved deeper and he spoke sweeter. He became the husband he's always thought about being. He became the kind of friend he'd always hoped to have. He realized he'd spend all of eternity thinking about what he did with those days. So now he hopes that everyone lives like they were dying. When we number our days, we realize how few of them we really have, and we need to spend them more wisely. And that's the second thing that happens when we number our days. We spend them more wisely. I came across a study some years ago how the typical American spends their time. Now, this is over the entire course of your life. But the average American spends 7.5 hours a day sleeping. 3.5 hours a day, again, this is the average, 3.5 hours a day working. 2 hours a day watching TV, 1.5 hours doing housework, 1 hour eating, 30 minutes on recreation, 30 minutes washing and grooming, and about 9 minutes thinking. Another way to think of it is, for an 80-year-old, you've spent 23 years sleeping. That's a long nap. And about 13 years working. But the study was 10 years ago, before the internet, before video games became so popular. So who knows what it would be now. I'm guessing it's not unusual, right? You can spend a couple hours playing a video game. May even go play all night. Then we have things like Netflix and streaming services. You can watch an entire season of a TV show in one weekend, and you know what that's called? Binge watching. But there goes an entire weekend of your life. And the numbers I gave you don't include worship or service to God because it was so small. It was so insignificant. It didn't even show up. So if we were to number our days, our hours, and our minutes, what would it reveal about the way we spend it. After sleeping and work, is TV third on the list? Well, it's part of our lives, I don't know, but we really don't know until we sit down and think about it. How much time, though, do we spend getting closer to God and nurturing our spiritual life? 15 minutes a day? 30? Is that enough? Is that what God has in mind? Is that satisfying? How many hours per week do we spend in service to our church or even our community in the name of the Lord? I'm not talking about coming to church. I'm talking about actually serving our church or some Christian cause. Is it a couple hours a week? 2 hours a week multiplied by 52, that's 104 hours a year. 104 hours. That's barely 4 days. We often don't realize how we're spending our time until we sit down and number it. When we do that, we can spend it wisely. Time's like money. We use money to buy things. In business, they say time is money. But in order to spend money wisely, you have to know how much you have. Back in the old days, before credit cards, when you went to the store to buy things and fill up the grocery cart, you would pay with cash. That's how my mom did it. And I would help bag the groceries. If you put too many things in your shopping cart and find out you don't have enough money, you got to start taking things out. Or maybe you leave the store without the things you really need because you didn't think you had enough money in your pocket. You know, because of credit cards, some people spend money they don't have and they can get into trouble. But we can never spend time we don't have, can we? You can run out of money, and you can also run out of time. So most of us make one of two mistakes when it comes to time. Some think that they have so much time they can afford to waste it. They'll do the important things later, right? I'm always too busy right now. I don't have enough time. When I'm done with school, when the kids are older, when things aren't so busy at work, when I'm retired. And it's almost like thinking I'm so busy growing up, I'm so busy living, I don't have time for God. I don't have time to work on my faith. And then one day you realize you've run out of time for the Lord. Other people think they have too little time, so they can't possibly do anything significant or anything that counts for God, so they don't even try. The thing about time, unlike money, is we all have the same amount to work with, 24 hours. And we all have just enough time for the things God would have us to do. So we need to number our days so we can understand how many we have to work with so we can spend them wisely. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, "Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself." We need to make plans for tomorrow. That's important. But we need to live for today. The third thing that happens when we number our days is we're able to offer them to God and ask Him to bless them. When we spend our days without really thinking about them, we miss the opportunity to ask for God's blessing on them, to consider His purposes for what we should do this day. When we number our days, then one by one, we can offer them up to the Lord as an act of worship and sacrifice. We can seek His direction and blessing. And when we offer our days to God, then they begin to add up to something that stands for eternity. The psalm ends on an upbeat note. Having faced the reality of death, having accurately reckoned the number of days and determined to spend them wisely, Moses invites God's blessing on the days to come. Verse 14, "Satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love, that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. Make us glad for as many days as you've afflicted us, for as many days as we have seen trouble." Moses is a realist. He's not kidding himself about how difficult life can be. But when we number our days and spend them wisely, then the Lord God is able to bless them. And they count for something. Not only for the years of our life here, but for eternity. Verse 17, may the favor of the Lord our God rest upon us, establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. When we offer our days to God, he's able and faithful to bless them with eternal significance. There's an old saying that might be familiar to some of you by a man named C.T. Studd, Charles Studd. Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. This home is often seen in homes on a tiny plaque, maybe a little picture. You get one pass in life, one shot, and only one. And the lasting measure of that life is Jesus Christ. Do we think about that every time we leave home? Every time we wake up in the morning? Then when all is said and done, the only thing that will count will be the things we have done for the Lord and with the Lord. And that's a sobering truth in this psalm. Most of the things we work so hard for, the things we count as important, will one day be forgotten. My father-in-law, my in-laws moved up to Gaylord, and my father-in-law passed a few years ago, and my mother-in-law moved into a facility. It was planned. There wasn't a health issue. But she wanted to sell her house. So her two daughters and her favorite son-in-law worked on that. And all the things that they had accumulated over the years, we went through. And we took what we wanted, a lot of his tools. Some furniture. We didn't need a lot, but we took some. And some of our kids, right, the grandkids, when they were around, they took some things. Then a lot of it was sold in an auction for pennies on the dollar. The house wasn't cheap, but all the belongings that they had accumulated over the years, like all of us, right? I'm not saying they did anything wrong. We said goodbye to. So how much money have we made? How many rooms in our house? How many deals we've closed? How many games we won? How many vacations we took? Time washes it all away like a wave crashing onto the shore. And so certainly we should work and we should play and we should love to the best of our ability. But when we leave God out of the picture, when we fail to work and play and love for his glory, then what we do crumbles to the ground and it's like dust in the wind. But the things that are done for Jesus Christ and his kingdom will last. The cups of water we give in his name, the people we have pointed to Christ, the children and grandchildren we have raised in the faith, the facilities we've helped build, the Bible lessons we have lived and learned and shared with others, the money we have invested in his kingdom, these things will stand for eternity. And when we number our days, we realize how few we have, how valuable they are, and we can carefully offer them to God and to live them for his purpose. No one knows. No one knows how many days we've been given. Maybe we'll get 100 years, or maybe 70 or 80 or less. But we all know how many years we've been given to this point. Maybe it's only 15 or 22 or 33 or 45 or 67. But suppose we were to write our age down and draw a line under it and do a subtotal. Suppose we were to number the hours and days we've lived to this point. What would we have to show for them, eternally speaking? How many of them have we intentionally offered up to God for his glory? What have we accomplished that will follow us into eternity? Who have we pointed to Christ? Where have we invested our time and money and talent in God's kingdom? If we were to number the work of our hands to this point in life, would we be satisfied that we've numbered our days aright? So let's invest our time for eternal significance. This morning, I want us to look at our whole life, at all our days, those behind and those yet to come. I want us to realize how few days we really have. I want us to think about how we have spent them. I want us to offer the remaining days up to God, ask Him to bless them, to make them eternally significant. Because if we want our life to count, we have to number our days. Five for Fighting, or The Birds, or Tim McGraw, they're all singing the same song Moses wrote 3,500 years ago. If we want our life to count, we have to number our days. We only have one life. That's all. We were made to live for God. Let's not waste it. Let me pray with you. Heavenly Father, thank you for the eternal words of Scripture. Because we know not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of the pen will disappear. Your word stands the test of time. Others may copy it without realizing it. But help us to see the truth for our lives as your people. And help us to number our days. Help us to count them and do things of eternal significance, because we want to be wise people and do the things that matter as we live for you and as we are a light in a dark world. Heavenly Father, let us live as your Son Jesus lived, each and every moment. And we ask this in his most holy name. Amen.